Yashoda na 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 Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda na 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 Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tirabhanachari Jamuna Tirabhanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gornita, Jaya Goranita, Goranita, Jaya Goranita. Jaya Radha Sham Sundaradha Sham Sundarade. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Paramahansa Paravacchacharya Asutara Sarasishma, His Divine Grace. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the Sambha devotees. All glories to the Sambha devotees. All glories to the Sambha devotees. Or is she grew and she go ranga? So reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, conversation between Manu and Kardama Muni. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're on text number 13. Yashuvacha Jushtam Bhataja Kila Satvarashe Samsidyam Akshnos Tava Darshananaha Ya darshanam janma bi ya sadbi Asha sate yogino ruda yoga Rishi uvacha Justam patadya kila satvarashe Samsidyam Akshnos Tava Darshanam Naha Yadarshanam Janma Bir Ija Sadbhi Ashasate yogino rudha yoga. Please chant. Shivacha, the great sage said, Jushtam is attained, Bata, Aja, now, Akila, all, Sattva, of goodness, Rashe, who are the reservoir, Samsijam, the complete success, Akshnaha, of the two eyes. Tava, of you. Darshanat, from the sight. Naha, by us. Yat, of whom. Darshanam, sight. Janmabhi, through births. Idja, O worship of Lord. Sadbihi, gradually elevated in position. Ashasate, aspire. Yoginaha, yogis. Rudha yogaha, having obtained perfection in yoga. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Kardama said, O Supreme Worshipful Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled, having attained the greatest perfection of the sight of you, who are the reservoir of all existences. Through many successive bursts of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here as a reservoir of all goodness and all pleasure. Unless one is situated in the mode of goodness, there is no real pleasure. When, therefore, one's body, mind, and activities are situated in the service of the Lord, one is on the highest perfectional stage of goodness. Kardama Muni says, your lordship is a reservoir of all that can be understood by the nomenclature of goodness, and by experiencing you face to face, eye to eye, the perfection of sight has now been attained. These statements are the pure devotional situation. For a devotee, the perfection of the senses is to engage in the service of the Lord. The sense of sight, when engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord, is perfected. The power to hear, when engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, is perfected. The power to taste, when one enjoys by eating prasad, is perfected. When all the senses engage in relationship with the personality of the Godhead, one's perfection is technically called bhakti yoga, which entails detaching the senses from material indulgence and attaching them to the service of the Lord. When one is freed from all designated conditional life and fully engages in the service of the Lord, one's service is called bhakti yoga. Kardama Muni admits that seeing the Lord personally in bhakti yoga is the perfection of sight. The exalted perfection of seeing the Lord is not exaggerated by Kardama Muni. He gives evidence that those who are actually elevated in yoga aspire in life after life to see this form of the personality of Godhead. He was not a fictitious yogi. Those who are actually on the advanced path aspire only to see the eternal form of the yoga, of the Lord. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we've been hearing about different people that have been endeavoring to see the Lord, and some successful, some not, some very difficult processes. And here we see that now Kardama Muni has seen the Lord. He gave a wonderful description of him. And we can only imagine, I can only imagine actually getting to see Krishna face to face, eye to eye, as it says here. And also, there's that nice picture of Gopa Kumar in being embraced by Krishna and with surrounded by all the gopis and gopas when he comes back home. Can imagine the ecstasy of being hugged by Krishna. Kardama Muni here is describing his ecstasy, his complete satisfaction in seeing the Lord. He describes it as the perfection of everything that he's done now, all this austerity. This is the perfection, which far passes any other type of elevation of yoga, maybe even emerging into Krishna's effulgence. I remember once upon a time I wanted to merge into the white light. And then I thought, boy, that'd be really boring, just bouncing around as a thing of light, you know. So I got to do something. I'm not going to sit around and do that. And so luckily I found bhakti yoga, which is the answer to all that. And I actually thought I was God, too. How boring it would be to have to think that you were God and figure out how to prove to everyone you're God. Ridiculous. So this is a much better position of actually getting to see the Supreme Lord, whom we are eternal servant of. Actually, when I first joined, there was a lot of promotional discussion, you know, when you first joined. They were saying, you eat prasadam for 7 years and your body becomes spiritual. Did you ever hear that? Yeah, because in 7 years, all your I thought, a spiritual body, well, what's it going to, is it going to be together, or is it going to be, what is it going to do? But that sounded interesting. But then they said, when you reach perfection, you can hear Krishna's flute. And I thought, wow, that's worth working for, because the flute is a very enchanting, enticing instrument. I mean, who doesn't love to hear a beautiful, deep bamboo flute, you know? It's just, you know, enchanting. And Krishna has so many flutes. I thought, well, to hear a flute, but to hear God play a flute, and then to hear that he has a short one, only like 6 inches long, a Venu. He's got a long one about 15 inches long, and then he's got some with 6 holes and 5 holes, and then he has a marble flute, and he's got a gold flute. He has jeweled flutes. Wow, I thought this would be very exciting. And then, of course, then Prabhupada, he knew that we didn't know anything about Krishna. I had never heard a thing about the name Krishna. But then he explained to us that, you know, Krishna looks like this. There were some old Brijabasi photos around. He said, yes, that's Krishna. Or, no, that's not Krishna. That's Durga. You know, we didn't know who was who in the Vedic conception. And then he helped like Pushkar and different artists to say, yes, no, he doesn't have this mustache, he doesn't do this. So he introduced to what Krishna would look like. And then he started deity worship, which put Krishna right in front of us, which was, you know, quite an experience for us. I remember the first time I went to the Los Angeles temple, you know, I didn't even see the deities, you know. There were many deities, but I didn't see any of them. So Krishna was hiding from us, but gradually Prabhupada introduced us so that we could relish seeing the Lord's form and to memorize what he's wearing and to make things for the Lord and to remember him all day long. So this was a big step for ourselves, being very conditioned souls, and many of us not being in this mode of goodness. Gradually, through the purification process, got a little bit out of the mode of ignorance, a little bit up. Gradually, we're making our way up. But just as we heard Mukhi just say, that it's very rare that you find someone who actually is on that level of no material desires. So it's a pricey attainment. Lord Nityananda does say that you can't have any material desire. And so we all kind of go, ooh, well, I guess, you know, a few more lifetimes coming up, not such an easy thing. But Srila Prabhupada, when he would hear our complaints of how difficult it might be, how hard it is to do this, four regulations, he would say, what is the difficulty? What is the difficulty? You know, I'm giving you the easiest process. But it is not that easy. We have Kali Yuga right at surrounding us on all sides. And then Maya puts this stupid phone in our hand and makes it more distractions. And then it is a difficult situation. And besides, there's really no satisfaction in this material sense gratification. And so therefore, we can see that Dhruva Maharaj, he endeavored through his difficult process of chanting and austerity and yoga and everything, withdrawing the senses. And then he wanted something material, but he, after seeing Krishna, said, I don't have any more material desires, because this is so satisfying, just getting to see you. And there's no other better engagement than serving the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada even said that in the deity worship that Krishna can even talk to you. Still waiting for that to happen on the altar, but it is possible, because Krishna is more enthusiastic about getting us home than we are going home. And the Kardama Muni, he's very satisfied now after his austerity. Perfection of his sight, he said, is to see Krishna. So this qualification of having that vision, that transcendental sight vision, is not that easy. We have lots of excuses why we're not there. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that if you shouldn't endeavor so hard to see him, just act so that he's going to want to see you. And so therefore, we have the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, all the previous acharyas, of how to behave, how to act in bhakti yoga, this process where we can ultimately reach that perfection of pleasing Krishna, which is made very easy because it begins with simple processes like hearing and chanting, and then putting ourselves in the proper place, being engaged in Krishna service all day long. And this is the purification that we need so that sight, that transcendental vision, will come back. So just by hearing about Krishna, we can remember him. Just like if you hear something about someone, you go, wow, that's something, you know, I didn't know anything about that. Or you hear about a place, you know, like we hear about Goloka Vrindavan and the Brahma Samhita, and you hanker to go there. So the more you hear about Krishna, the more we're going to hanker to endeavor this lifetime to reach that perfection of pleasing him. And of course, chanting, Krishna is there. Prabhupada taught us that if we can just understand that one thing, that Krishna is in his name, then we will become relieved from so many different burdens of all the different entanglements that we're in, just to take shelter, always taking shelter of the holy name, and becoming detached from this horrible material existence. So this is how to sharpen our spiritual senses to engage them in Krishna's service, as it's described in this purport. And there's tons of service to do. There's no lack of it. And it's in a way where we can express our faith and our attachment to Krishna, because it's an outlet for us to think, oh, now I'm going to do this service. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it most attentively? How am I going to do it nicely? How can I make it better than the last time I did it? And then we can ask, by service, we can also express our gratitude to Prabhupada for letting us do this service. Maya is very anxious. She'll give us plenty of service to do, and end up saying, okay, now bend over, and she kicks us in the backside. Yes, that's what you get for serving me, just a big kick. But Srila Prabhupada is very happy to have us do service, and we know what pleases him the most is that's to spread Krishna consciousness to others. But to spread Krishna consciousness to others, we have to be Krishna conscious. And so we have to learn how to do this bhakti yoga in a better way all the time. Queen Rukmini, she never really saw Krishna until she was kidnapped by him. She had just heard about him. She was way over on the west coast, and Krishna's younger pastimes were all over in the east. So she never heard, but just hearing about what he was like completely, captured her heart, and she became totally involved and just meditating on Krishna. So this is very important that we try to hear as much as we can about Krishna. I know I try to read Krishna book at night, and it's you never get tired of it. Every story is just completely wonderful. And of course, Ambarish Maharaj, he perfected his life by doing lots of service. There's a song, Maharaj Ambarish was a very great king, because he used all his senses in the Lord. And we see that he would sweep the temple, and he would help his dependents, his community, his kingdom to think more of Krishna. Did his worship. I'm sure he did his chanting and offering everything to the Lord. So this is a wonderful example of how he saw Krishna just by doing all these services. And of course, Srimati Radharani, she had the position where she could choose not to see anything until she saw Krishna. Now that's real nectar. Can you imagine, just being blind, because I don't want to get into this other stuff. I just want to see Krishna first. And so she was able to do that. So we have choices too. We can choose to see the Super Bowl or something on Sunday, Super Sunday, some football games coming up, isn't it? Coming up sometime. Yeah, it's on a Sunday. Or we can choose to come to the temple that Sunday and have nice prasadam, have kirtan, all kinds of nice things. So we have these choices of what we want to see, what we put on it, what we open up on our phone, what we turn on to listen to. So it's a big, problem for us, because we're so influenced by the attractiveness of seeing these eyeballs. They don't really see, but the mind sees when it goes all the way through there. So we have to understand that to control the mind and to choose properly can actually save us from having to come here again and go through the whole darn program of youth and old age and all this stuff. So it's very important. But even on the royal road of those, even in the mode of goodness, they can have accidents, as described. Prabhupada spent many, many classes, I've been listening to lately, on Ajamil, the story of Ajamil. He was trained up by his father to be a wonderful Brahmin, to control his senses, to always engage in God's service, and to study, and to get control of his senses. But it just took a little sight, just a glance with his material eyes, with just this one little sense, seeing a couple engaging in frivolous activities, that he lost it completely. Just because of these eyes, he fell down. Prabhupada said that he became most sinful. You know, can imagine being in the mode of goodness and then going all the way to the most sinful person. So that is the effects of not using our vision in the proper way. And Prabhupada said that although he was trained, he could have, you know, if he was really trained, he could have, you know, said, you know, this is Maya, but he meditated on it, and he wasn't sincere, Prabhupada said. He wasn't sincere in what he was really learning and what he really had with this bhakti yoga training. And because of that, he fell down. So we should always be taking a little test of, you know, how sincere am I? Can I refuse not to go here and not to see this? So we have to, now that the New Year's resolutions are coming up, we can take that resolution to check our sincerity to serving Srila Prabhupada. Are we really using all of our energy, all of our mind, word, and deeds in satisfying him? Even on a daily basis, am I making the best choices in regards of satisfying our spiritual master? So we have these shortcomings also within us. Ajmil had that shortcoming. We have shortcomings. Prabhupada said we're not scared enough of Maya. That we think that, oh, I can go to kirtan and I can go out to the car and have a beer and come back in kirtan, and I can do this and I can go to the restaurants and I can still, you know, be fixed. But we're not scared enough. You know, Maya is much trickier than we are, and if we let down our guards just slightly, then Maya can grab us by the neck and pull us back into her prison house. So usually we think most of Krishna, thinking meaning that on our level of seeing Krishna in that way, when we remember him, we actually see him with our eyes and within our heart. If we can remember him really well, that position is very satisfying. But usually it's when we're down and out, when something happens. That's usually like when the plane all of a sudden takes a big dip. Oh, Krishna, you know. Or else when something happens to our body or our relatives or some disaster, that's when we think of Krishna. I know for me, it's on a good day when everything's great and I'm feeling fine and everything. I don't think of Krishna that much, but when something disastrous happens or some horrible news, oh, Krishna, why, you know, why me, why this, why that? I need, or when we're in need, oh, Krishna, you know, I need your help. Because we have faith that he's there, but that's not always the best way to think of Krishna. Even just like I was saying how, you know, we were enticed to worship, you know, to take up bhakti yoga because we could hear Krishna's flute. But that's not really why we join. We join because that was the magic puzzle piece that was missing in our lives of, okay, what does a soul do all day? Ah, serve Krishna. So it's not always the best thing just to think that we need Krishna, but there's a very nice example of a devotee in Lord Chaitanya's pastime who was so attached to Krishna because he wanted to please him. So therefore he could remember and meditate on Krishna all day because he just wanted to please him, not that he wanted something from him. And that is Pradyumna Brahmachari. He was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, and he was but he worshipped Lord Nrisingadev. Within his heart, he really had an attraction for Lord Nrisingadev. And he would meditate on him, and actually it was said that he could talk to Lord Nrisingadev. He was so absorbed in him. And Lord Chaitanya really appreciated this devotion that he had. And I think it was that whenever he made an offerings to Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Chaitanya would want the remnants because he could see that he was so intensely fixed such that he could talk to him. That's pretty fixed. And so this Lord Chaitanya renamed him Nrisingananda Brahmachari because he was so devoted to Lord Nrisingadev. And he was a simple brahmachari. Of course, most brahmacharis are supposed to be simple. And he didn't have a lot of possessions or anything, but he had that ability to really meditate on the Lord all day long. And once he heard that Lord Chaitanya was wanting to go from Kaliagram to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya had some rasa trying to go to Vrindavan several times and didn't quite make it. So this time, Nrisingananda heard about it and he was thinking, that's a long way for him to go. And usually Lord Chaitanya traveled by himself or just with one person, and he was thinking, that's a long way and it's not an easy travel. It's like going from here to Fort Myers to Miami. Not an easy thing. I lived in Miami, and sometimes I get these pictures of Miami in the, you know, like maybe 200 years ago or something, maybe at the most. And you can see Biscayne Boulevard. All it is jungle with a little teeny dirt road going through, some old ancient looking, cars on the side. And you thought, it was actually a jungle down there. I mean, and to think that 500 years ago in India, what it must have been like. It must have been really scary to travel, and through jungles. And they had tigers and they had, cobras and who knows what else, crocodiles and no paths, no iPhones to know where to go, or even those paper maps. Remember those paper maps? No maps even to find directions. So Nrisingananda Brahmachari was thinking, I would like it, make it better for him, easier for him to travel. So he sat down in meditation, and he meditated so hard that he made this road, a broad road, for the Lord to walk on and to be able to dance on and to not get lost. And he put lakes with swans on the sides, and he meditated on jewels on the side, and he really got into it. And then he made flowers strewn all over the pass. And Lord Chaitanya could actually accept this. He actually accepted this meditation because it was done in such an intense, devoted manner. So to develop that kind of ability to see the Lord and to please him is the perfection, just as Kardama Muni. Although in that pastime, he was meditating, and all of a sudden he got to, I think it was Kanai Natashala, and his meditation stopped, and he goes, well, that's not Vrindavan, but I can't meditate anymore. I can't make the road go any farther. It was because then Lord Chaitanya didn't go past that. So he was really in tune. So this is what it takes. This is the qualification it takes to actually see the Lord. But there are many, many descriptions of how those who have great sadhana and great ability to control their senses and to meditate and to put their senses in the fire of devotional service and become so pure that they can actually see the Lord 24 hours a day. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in many of his songs that I'm seen, just by my household with all my kids and everything going on, I see it as Goloka Vrindavan. I see it happening, I see Krishna, I see everything going on here, just like it's Goloka, because he was so deeply involved in serving the Lord. And he also says that just by seeing the Tulsi plant, that his soul is just soothed, because he could understand it's part of Krishna. So this is the level of sincerity that he had. Or even ourselves, when we travel around, maybe we're in a different country, and we're with non-devotees like I do with my, relatives, all of a sudden you'll see some neck beads on somebody, and go, oh, a devotee, or you'll see tea like, oh, how are you? Oh, it's so nice to see a devotee, because it's a devotee is the tadiyanam, is the paraphernalia of Krishna. So Prabhupada really liked us to dress up as devotees, to go outside, with tilak and everything, and look like devotees, even just to go to the grocery stores, wherever you go, gas station, you get out and people go, wow, what are you into? That's a really nice sari. Where'd you get that? Well, what's that tattoo? Or whatever, what's that stuff on your forehead? And then you get to preach. Because they remind you, devotees remind people of Krishna, even within their hearts they don't realize it. The little soul is jumping in joy. Oh, there's some tilak, there's a devotee, and it really helps. So it's important to dress like devotees. I have a story of, we used to take the girls on Sankirtan, and some of them were, you know, teenagers, they're kind of, they would go door to door and store to store, and some of them got kind of on the bodily platform that they didn't want to wear tilak, they would take it off, and they didn't want to be so much like a devotee. They just wanted to sell the cakes and get the money or whatever, although they were giving out books. But one devotee, her name is Shalagram Sheila, and she has a very black body. I mean, really black body. But she loves to put on tilak and bright white tilak, really big. She has a forehead about like this big. And she lives here in the community. She loves to put it on. She'd put it on. She'd take time and make it just exactly perfect. And she'd go out there on Sankirtan and do just as good as anybody else, you know, because she had that faith that I'm a devotee. She was even having a hard day one time. And she was just standing on a street corner and going, oh, I can't destroy any books. And nobody wants these books and everything. And then someone came up to her and goes, do you have a Bhagavad Gita? She goes, I do. Here. Because they saw that this person was a devotee and they wanted a Bhagavad Gita. So just, it's described that one is a Vaishnava when seen by somebody that they think of Krishna. So we should always be very proud to be Vaishnavas. It is described that if you see a Vaishnav and you aren't excited and receive him nicely, that that's an offense. You actually have to get excited about seeing a Vaishnav. So we should remember that. And we should surround ourselves with Krishna's paraphernalia. You know, hundreds of pictures we can fit in our house. Every nook and cranny we can put statues of Krishna, this, that, tons of books on our shelves. And this way we need the help, as much help as we can get, to remember Krishna all day long. So in your cars, people have all kinds of things, all the old garlands hanging there and everything. We need it. We need to absorb our senses and, of course, accept as much surface as we can so that we are meditating on that also. So the perfection of remembering Krishna is, I was reading the other night in the Krishna book, that Lord Balaram was asked by Krishna when he was in Dwarka, please go visit the residents of Vrindavan, see how they're doing, because, you know, I promised I was going to come back and I didn't. So, you know, see what's happening. And he went there and they were happy to see him and he spent a lot of time with them. But Balaram was just flabbergasted. He was just, everything they said, everything they did, everything they were just so absorbed in Krishna, because everything they saw reminded them of Krishna. So they could never forget Krishna. So they were, their consciousness was always fixed. Prabhupada gave it a nice example of, the mothers can relate to this, that you're very attached to your kids. And so if your kids go away to like, just a school, or you haven't seen them for hours or days, or maybe they're summer camp, and you see their shoes outside, you go, oh, my kid, my daughter, my son, whatever. And it reminds you, and your the affection comes out. So all these things that we can accept in Krishna consciousness to help us remember Krishna, they purge that lost love of Krishna. It comes more to the surface, more and more and more. So this is, we're very fortunate that Prabhupada gave us these temples, which help us remember Krishna, and so many activities that we can do, and to meditate, and of course the books are amazing to help us remember Krishna. And even if you ask a seamstress in Krishna consciousness, like Shrunti, if you went and asked her, what's the size of Krishna's waist? She could tell you. She could tell you, oh, it's this many inches around. We know so much about Krishna because we're constantly serving him in different ways. So what does Krishna like to eat? And what's he like to wear? So this is such a wonderful thing that we have in this Krishna consciousness. We should take advantage and figure out how we can improve this next year, how we can improve our meditation, our ability to meditate, our ability to say no to the Super Bowl, and our ability to say yes to more Krishna conscious events and opportunities to serve. And then gradually our sight, as described, the salve of love, will anoint our eyes so that we can see him all day long and eventually be with him. But it's not easy. And I have a question for you all. It's something that's always perplexed me. We're hearing about how Kardama Muni did this 10,000 years of meditation, and then he saw Krishna, and we heard from Nagaraj the other day how they didn't just meditate all day long. They would had to do some other things too. And then Kardama Muni, when he reached that perfection of seeing Krishna, he went to his service of procreation. But the devotees, the mystic yogis that sit there for so many thousands of years, and they finally they get to see Krishna in their heart. And what do? Does anyone know? A long time ago, do they just say, oh, that's nice? Or do they get to see Krishna, they just sit there and see a reel of Krishna, you know, in front of their eyes? Or does anyone know? Do they go back to their position, or they get married, or they... it seems like, you know, they'd be satisfied in seeing Krishna, but then what do? Anybody know? Can anyone help me in that regard? My question to you. Does anybody know?
Because if they don't develop service attitude, Krishna's beauty is so overwhelming, they want to enter and merge. Uh-huh. And Prabhupada writes, this is the most abominable activity. So is it really benefited?
So a good percentage of the yogis, after they see Krishna, they want to merge.
Yeah, because Krishna's beauty is so beautiful, uh-huh. They never can, even though they saw before in the heart, but when literally they see face to face, they can't take it. So service attitude and under guidance, these two principles will take us from that level to pure bhakti.
So they get that service attitude by maybe Krishna will tell them in the heart that you should serve me? Is that what happens after they see Krishna?
No, they have to cultivate serving now, not that time. Otherwise they will not know what to do.
Yeah. So how do they... But for 30,000 years, they're sitting there meditating.
Look at yourself. You are serving whole day. You are serving here, there, mm-hmm. Prabhupada's, devotees, Krishna's.
So, but when they're sitting in a meditation, that's their service then?
They are trying to see, but it's not going to satisfy the soul unless they come back to their origin service. Mm-hmm. And also, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's commentary is that they have to accept subordination. Like you have Prabhupada, okay, you want to serve, but mm-hmm. you're serving under Prabhupada. The impersonal is don't care at the perfection. They think, I am that guru. Aham guru apasana.
Yeah, I'm mainly thinking of the yogis, the mystic yogis. Okay. Anyway, sounds like a safer position just to do bhakti yoga right here and now, not go into all these other types of yoga. So, anyone else have any questions, comments?
Just last week, I was working in the parking lot and with books, and at the end of an hour or two, I got in my car and looked in the mirror, and I still had my tilak on, and all those people were seeing me. I didn't even know, but I did okay.
Yeah. I think all the residents in Alachua, they just know tilak. They know, you know, no one has a problem with it. It's such a common thing. It's nice to be in such a community that devotees are accepted. I remember in Gianagar, they used to have, they called town clothes. Everyone would change into town clothes. and go in there. But it didn't really, they didn't really benefit by it because no one really knew what they were up to. They started thinking they were doing all these weird things over there. You know, then they would have a open house on Sunday, and they would close the curtains, and they would dress in town clothes, and then speak some philosophy. But it was strange. Better just to be devotees, unless you're in a country where it's not allowed, of course. But we should be proud to have our tilak and be able to tell other people how they can perfect their lives and perfect their vision to see Krishna. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.